Welcome into a very special edition of the Sports Objective. Very big night for us. We'll be talking Pirate Sports in the second half hour. Lots to talk about that. We're having a game, maybe a game, who knows, it's going to be raining. We're talking about that on Saturday with some controversy this week. We'll be talking about that. Eastie with controversy, I mean, that never happens. But anyway, Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you, dude?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Excited to have two special gentlemen on. Andrew D., who is a pirate and a caniac like me. So, Andrew D., how are you?
Good tonight, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
No doubt. And ladies and gentlemen, a dear friend of the podcast and a guy that's been with us for a good while now, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Mike Maniscalco. Mike, man, how are you?
Doing very well, Dave. Thanks for having me. Always glad to be a part of the show.
I should have introduced you as the voice of the first place Carolina Hurricanes. I'm sorry about that. It's got to feel good, my friend. You've been around the team for a long time, and it's got to feel good to be sitting pretty right now. We have control of our destiny, right, going into the final stretch of the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's what every team wants right now. But, you know, the funny thing, Dave, with 11 games left, and you guys know this, it's you want to be – secure for the playoffs, and that's where you want to get to. And for the first time in a long time, we don't have to worry about, are the Canes going to make the playoffs? They're going to make the playoffs. Now the question is, are they going to be peaking by the time the playoffs get here? So, you know, how much do you go hammer down, and how valuable is hanging on to first place in order to get to that point? Now, I would think this year more than any, first place has far more value than it does in any other season in the NHL to, you know, be in that one versus four matchup versus your division, have as many points as you can, because it'll be a reseed once you get out of the first and second round when you get to the final four. And yeah, we're using college terms. It's a final four. It's not a conference playoff anymore. So it's pretty good. And it's good to watch this team and be around this team, you know, every single night when they're in town, and then watch them when they're on the road, the way that they've been able to play.
Let me ask you this, since we know that I won't be jinxing us, that we are going to be in the playoffs. What about as far as playoff tickets go and sell for now that we can have fans? Can you talk about that? Because the guy in the right next to me in the box there, Bubba Rosenbaum, I've got to get him to a game and the playoff atmosphere. And we have Andrew D. there who, like, I'll tell you what, he wakes up Canes, goes to bed Canes. He listens to he watches you every single game, Mike. So, yeah. But what about the season, not season tickets, but I should say the playoff tickets?
Well, first off, Andrew, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. I'm good to know that it's all of the huge caniacs that Tripp knows, my mom and dad and you are watching me. So that's pretty good. And for Bubba, we got to get you to a game, my man, especially playoff hockey. I mean, it's no Doughty Ficklin when an ACC school comes in.
Well, I mean, what is? But
I'll tell you what.
It might be multiplied one or two, depending on who the opponent is. But playoff hockey, there's nothing like it. What I can tell you, Dave, and I know that news was announced today by Governor Roy Cooper about, you know, June 1st and how things will go. Still a lot of, you know, they don't give me the heads up on the plans that's going to happen as far as seating goes. But you still have to work with the NHL, and they have their protocols that they want to make sure that everybody is still safe, because – you know, Colorado just had a COVID outbreak. Vancouver it's gotten over one where 20 people in their organization were impacted by it. So you still have to work with some protocols within reason. And, you know, I know we're in April, and June seems so far away, but it's really not. I my fingers are crossed, and none of this is official. I've gotten nothing from the organization or the NHL, but my fingers are crossed. I don't see how it can be 100% capacity, but it will at least be more than what the team has right now. So that'll be a good thing. And, you know, Bubba, I can make a call. You know, we could always use another production assistant in the booth if you want to come up and watch a game with us, although watching it in the booth is not the same as watching it with the crowd, just so you know.
I'm sure he would take that. Wouldn't you take the offer, Bubba? I mean, you're a fool if you don't take that.
Oh, absolutely. And Mike, you're talking about the playoff hockey. I've had several friends that had the opportunity to play in the past, and they said it's unbelievable. You don't understand unless you experience it in person.
Yeah, I mean, the old slogan is you'll know when you go. I'd like to say you don't know until you go, and especially for the playoffs, it's a whole nother level.
And don't make the mistake I did, Mike, back in 99, the first game I went to in Raleigh. I wasn't thinking, and I wore a short-sleeve shirt. You definitely need to make sure you have long sleeves. And I had a Canes polo on, and I froze the whole game, so...
Well, you know, make sure that there's at least coffee or hot chocolate available for you if you're going to be like Dave in flex on everybody with the golf shirt on, you know, just to have a little beverage to warm you up here or there.
No doubt. And I'll tell you one thing, that game one of the Stanley Cup was one of my – that's got to be in my – definitely when everybody talks about their Mount Rushmore of sporting events. The third period of that game, I was excited and scared at 300 level. Oh my God, it was literally like bouncing.
Oh yeah.
And that's one of the memories. You were talking about Dowdy Ficklin, and I've had some great memories there at East Carolina and some other great places around the nation. But PNC Arena, when the Canes are good, like they are this year, I hate that we're really good, and as far as the fans are concerned, but totally understandable why we're doing it. And hopefully we can get through the rest of the season. And if we win the cup and I have to watch it at home, I'm all for it. If that's what it takes to win the cup, man.
I mean, as the guy who's calling the games on TV, Dave, I'll be all for you watching us win those games. Although when it gets to that point, it totally shifts over to the national side of things, but I'm with you. And this is a special team right now. I think that we've seen it. And even when they have the stubbing of the toe like they did against Detroit, it's kind of fine. Sorry, Andrew, hate to bring that memory up for you. But it's one of these things where the Wiz team is, and Rod Brind'Amour said this a few weeks ago, that this team doesn't overreact to any of the situations that they're in. You know, they're down 2-0 in the third. All right, well, we'll score two goals and we'll tie the game. We'll find a way to win it. Or we're up 2-0. All right, well, we'll you know, we're going to, you know, snuff out the other team's offense and we'll win it. They just really don't get any kind of upset about what's going on. And I think that that's always a hallmark of a good team, is they never panic about the situation that they're in.
Hey Dave, I want to describe a sequence from last night and then have Mike comment. So Dave, last night there was a sequence where the Hurricanes had just scored a goal. It was maybe 15 seconds afterwards, and Captain Jordan Staal was parked in the crease in front of the goal mouth, legally. Yep. And one of the Lightning, a guy named Gordy, they bump together. He kind of fell. He gets back up. He stands there, drives his stick in the Staal's back four times. And Staal just has a stoic look. He doesn't turn around. He just looks forward. Hamilton blasts a shot from the point. He puts the stick out. He tips it down for a goal. Skates forward two steps. Looks back for a second. Says nothing. That calmness, that demeanor, that's the whole team in a nutshell. Mike, describe that play last night from your point of view.
I think you hit all of the fine points on it, Andrew, but basically what Yanni Gord did was he was trying to move Eric Staal out in front of the net. Jordan Staal out from in front of the net. Yes, thank you. I just do the play-by-play for the team. And Jordan had his stick out. Gord runs into the stick. He thinks that Jordan interfered with him. That's not the case. So Gord gets upset. But that sums up what Jordan Staal is all about in a nutshell. He had a job to do.
Just tip the goal in.
Because he has the job to do there, Andrew. And he's not going to let a player like Yanni Gord take him off of his game. And at the same time, if you watch, Jordan Staal is tracking the play. He knows where the puck is. He knows that it's going to go to the point and that Dougie Hamilton is going to put a shot on net. He's got to be ready for the deflection. And if you watch it again, and this is going to sound like I'm disrespecting Yanni Gord, and I do not mean to, because he's a fantastic hockey player. But if you watch that, what Gord was trying to do to Jordan Staal, that's when a JV player is trying to move a varsity player, and the varsity player is like, you have no idea what you're doing. And he gets the stick out. It's a world-class deflection for his 14th goal of the season. And I think you're right, Andrew. That sums up what the Canes are all about. You know, they're a team that's all business when they need to be business, and they're not going to let somebody take them out of that element. And I love that play. I love everything about it. And I love the celebration afterwards, which, you know, Jordan is not a, you know, stick it in your face kind of guy, but he scored the goal. He knew who was behind him when he turned around and put the arms over his head and looked right at Yanni Gourde. You know, that's a little, that's a little WWE attitude era right there that he threw on him. You also know, Mike, because Jordan Stahl said so.
I know he's a quiet guy, but I can't imagine Vasilevsky had nice words for his teammate after basically getting in his way for 30 seconds.
I'll let Tampa Bay handle that one, but I do know that goalies are never happy when the guys in front of them are screening them or don't move the guys out of the way. So he might have said it in Russian to Yanni Gourde, so that way Yanni didn't get the full brunt of what Andre had to say.
Now, Mike, the comments here in my house and around the my little texting group last night were, man, the fourth line, the minutes being logged, starting the game, was that a message from Coach Brendan Moore, or he just responding to the physical nature that Tampa brought on Monday? It was obviously pronounced. I didn't look at the log minutes to see if they played longer or not, but obviously they put a point, a big goal on the board. They played heavy all night. I think Lorenz had a career-high 4 shots. So was that a strategy Brendan Moore employed last night, or is that something going forward we'll see more like in the playoffs?
Well, I think it's something that Rod Brendan Moore said that he was going to do from the moment he took over the team, which is if you're playing well, he's going to play you. And that fourth line was going last night. There was no reason not to give them minutes. There was no reason to take away a shift from them for somebody else because of the way that Steven Lorenz, Morgan Geekie, and Cedric Paquette were going. I mean, they were absolutely fantastic with what they were able to do. So that's one of the big things for me. That's one of the keys for me is when a coach says he's going to do something, that he lives up to his word. And that's why this team plays so hard for Rod Brendan Moore, because if you earn your ice time, he's going to give it to you. And there was no reason not to keep playing that fourth line. You know, Cedric Paquette was as physical as we've seen him this year against his former team. And you know, that Steven Lorenz goal is that's a 10-year veteran, not a rookie beating a former Vezina Trophy winner. And that's a set play that he and Morgan Geekie do work on. I've seen him work on it in practice coming out of the corner and stepping in on the goalie. So I don't think it was anything to do with Monday night, honestly, Drew. I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think it had everything to do with that line was going and Rod Brendan Moore was going to let him play.
And, Mike, we have one of our dear friends, Pirate Al. He's also a Caniac, a Pirate fan and a Caniac. And he says, go Kings, can we add the Hanson brothers for the playoffs?
I don't think the penalty killers would appreciate it if the Hanson brothers get added, Al. But, you know, in the playoffs, you need a physical chippy element. So if it comes down to can we sign them at a good rate that doesn't put the Canes over the cap? And remember, for the playoffs, there is no salary cap, so that works. But the Hansons might be just a little bit too old right now. And, you know, the Iron League plays a different style of hockey, just so we're sad. But the way that Lorenz, Paquette, and Geekie played last night, a little bit of a throwback, a little bit of an homage to the guys for the Charleston Chiefs.
Hey, Mike. You know, a little bit of a delay, lag there. Mike, I was going to ask you, as far as the trade, we had the trade deadline has passed. Get your thoughts. We obviously haven't had you on pre-trade, but post-trade now, how are you feeling about – we talked about how good the Canes look, and how do you think the Canes did as far as the trade deadline is concerned?
You know, it's funny because when you lead up to the trade deadline, there were the two games against Detroit, the one game on Saturday, and then the game after the trade deadline on Monday, which was Jordan Stahl's 1,000th game. And after those games, you know, everybody could have said, well, why didn't the Canes do more than just add Yanni Hockenpah from – the Anaheim Ducks. Believe me, I was hearing it, Drew. But part of the reason was the Canes know that Teuvo Teravainen at some point is going to come back this year from the concussion injury that he's been dealing with, the concussion problem he's been dealing with. They're also going to get back Brock McGinn. And what they were looking at is need versus reaction. And the need was they needed another right shot defenseman who brought a little bit of snarl, a little bit of the Hanson game to it, if we're going to be perfectly honest. And, you know, Yanni Hockenpah is third in the league in hits. So that's what the Canes wanted, what they were looking for on the back end for a right shot defenseman who you didn't have to break the bank to get. Yes, you're trading away a former first-round draft pick in Hayden Fleury, but the Canes 5-6 defensive pairing, or that third pairing, when you have Jake Bean, Jake Gardner, and Hayden Fleury, it's three of kind of the same guy with how they play. So you needed something different for the mix. So I thought the Canes did really well because they had a need. They addressed it. While there is a cost of a player who I think can go have a really good career in the NHL, and I wish nothing but the best for Hayden Fleury in his time in Anaheim, Yanni Hockenpah brings something to the team that they didn't have. You know, it's when you can go out and do that and it doesn't add a ton of salary to your team and it can make your team a little bit better. I mean, the results are pretty simple. With Hockenpah in the lineup, the Canes are 3-0-1. So I think it's worked out well for the team. Yeah, were there other trades? Just because a trade doesn't get made doesn't mean that Don Waddell and the front office weren't in on something. Just means that either the other team didn't agree to the price that the Canes wanted to pay or the Canes didn't want to pay the price that another team wanted. But I think that it's worked out well for this team because you look at the mix, you look at what they've done. I don't think there was any reason to truly try to go out and rock the boat for this team the way that they've been playing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Mike, is when you have a team that's as poised as this team is to make a deep run in the playoffs, it would seem kind of strange to be a whole bunch of trades. It looks like the team is like a well-oiled machine. And going back to Rod Brendamore, I mean, my gosh, if you're not a tough-nosed, mental tough kind of guy, you're not going to make it on a Brendamore team. I mean, you're only as good as the top, is my opinion. And when you have a coach like Brendamore, then you better be mentally ready, mental toughness, the physical toughness, the whole nine yards. And you better bring your A game and you better have a heart of, I mean, you better bring everything you have and leave everything you have on the ice, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what this team does. And I think that it's been clear in the 3 years of Rod Brendamore coaching the Carolina Hurricanes. This team, and guys, you know this, teams take on the identity of their head coach. And I don't care what sport we're talking about. It can be T-ball to college football to the NHL. And Rod Brendamore demands a ton from his team. And this team gives it because he doesn't ask them to do anything that he wouldn't do himself, that he didn't do as a player. And the other thing, guys, is he relates to them as people. It's not – he doesn't look at Dave Richmond. How does Dave Richmond help me win hockey games? He looks at Dave Richmond, the person. How can – if I make Dave Richmond a better person, or how can I get the most out of Dave Richmond? And then that makes us a better team. And I mean, I wish I could tell you there's a magic trick to it or here's what happens, but there are some people in this world that you just know make other people better, that they just have charisma and they're just, you know, you say, how does one person possess all that talent? Rod Brendamore is one of those people for me. If you're around him, his talent is he brings out the best in everybody around him. I mean, I'm just a play-by-play voice for the team, and every game I want to call the best game ever because I know he's the coach of this team and I want him to be like everything in this organization that he's a part of is really good. And there's no pressure. He doesn't put it on you. He doesn't sit there and say, you need to do this tonight. But that's just the person he is, that everybody wants to get to that level for him. And you see it with how this team plays.
It's amazing to have 3 years and three playoff runs. I mean, yep. I know the first one was more of a surprise than the last year and this year, but the coach has been here 3 years and three playoff runs. So, I mean, you can't dispute how great of a coach he is when the proof is in the pudding, as the cliche says.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just all you have to do is look at the back of the program.
Second most points in the league since New Year's Eve 2018.
Yeah. I mean, that's no fluke.
It was a graphic last night. So.
Yeah, no fluke. And you know, the funny thing is they were in third from the bottom in the NHL on that date. Going into New Year's Eve, and now they're one of the best teams. You know, it's them in Tampa as far as points that are concerned. And, you know, this year points percentage for the Canes, you know, they're amongst the tops in the league, and I really can't wait to see, because I do think there's a little bit of a difference when you're the hunter versus the hunted. And the Canes, you know, 2 years ago were the hunter, wanted to show the Caps, hey, we're on the block now, you have to watch for us. Last year, they wanted to prove that the year before wasn't a fluke, that they got to the conference finals. You know, now this year, everybody knows they're for real. So let's see what happens when they get into the postseason and you know, maybe the target is on the Canes jerseys instead of the opponent's jerseys this year heading into the postseason. Because remember last year, the qualifying round, I'll call it that because that's what the NHL wants me to. You know, the Canes on paper were a better team than the New York Rangers, but everybody said the Rangers were the team to beat in that series. And I know there's some bias here, but I'm like, are people watching the same game, or did they watch the same game that we were before we got to this point in time? And I think, you know, again, that put the Canes in that hunter position. This year it's going to be a little bit different. I want to see how they react because that's part of the process to becoming a champion.
No question. What do you, what are the, when you talk about checking the boxes, what do you, beforehand, what, as far as checking the boxes for the Hurricanes, what do they need to do to win the Stanley Cup? You're the expert. And so I yield my time to you to tell us how do they get to the, how do they make that path to, I know it's a lot of luck and I know all that stuff and things have to fall our way with the Canes, but how do they get there to raise the Stanley Cup over their head?
Three things. You've got to stay healthy. Relatively healthy, because it becomes a war of attrition in the playoffs. You have to have good goaltending. It doesn't have to be, you know, the best goaltending in the league, but I, at the same point in time, think that you've got to have good enough goaltending that gets you through a series. And then on the other side of this, you got to get timely goals. You don't have to score on the power play every time you get a man advantage. But if you're in a game and it's a 1-1 game, you know, you've got to get that second goal. If you're up 1-0 after one period of play, you got to get the second goal and put the pressure on the other team. Justin Williams said it best. The playoffs are about leaning on your opposition and letting them know how tough it is to win a game. And that's what you do. You lean on the opposition and let them know how tough it is. But it's health, it's goaltending, and timely goals.
I know, Andrew, with all you've watched this year, the hockey team, you and I both have talked about how this team, I use that word a lot, but toughness comes to mind many, many times, right? The mental toughness of this team is amazing.
It's mental toughness, it's resolve. Another highlight example, Monday night, a guy had a tremendous year, Vincent Trocheck, who has surpassed my expectations for him as a player, as our number two center. He, as Tripp says, he had a little bit of an off game Monday night. Had a turnover, had another play he could get back. Well, last night on that first goal, he made a world-class backhand pass on the rush and just found a wide-open Nino Niederreiter in the sweet spot, in the garden spot, right in front of a goalie who's as big as a sofa in net. And he just, you know, put right in the back corner of the net, like for an easy tap-in. And Trocheck's face, he didn't set it all. And so a guy like him, the mental toughness, the up and down the roster. I think more than the Stanley Cup year, this team is a little more focused. Guys understand their role, and they all have that synergy going right now. So that's another thing you have to have in the playoffs. You can have the components, but the components don't always gel in a locker room in a playoff sense to go what could be 2 months, you know, in that environment. So we'll see with this compressed schedule, Mike. I know it's a lot on you having to call back to back nights and then do a podcast. But it's a marathon and a sprint at the same time, or a series of sprints in this marathon. So I think this team has it. We play the style of game. That doesn't always bode well deep in the playoffs to get some bigger teams, but we showed last night, we showed against Dallas recently, we could play that heavy bad game too. And every move we've made this year has been towards that effect. You know, bringing in guys like Paquette, bringing in Hockenbach. This team's playoff ready. And while some of the Canadian media didn't like our lack of moves at the deadline, maybe kind of poke and fun at us for it. Like Mike said, sometimes it's about, you know, what you need to add, not just what looks good on paper, Savard. So, you know, we'll see. But I'm expecting – one last point, Dave. How important is first seed in the setup, Dave? If you're the first seed versus the two or three, well, then you only see Tampa and Florida once because they'll eliminate each other. The team that's in fourth place right now, Dallas, we're 6-0 against. So – getting that number one spot would be a tremendous, you know, cherry on top this year. And Mike knows it.
Yeah, and the other part of that is the reseed when you get out of the divisional playoffs. Also, Drew, if I could, I just want to address the Canadian media talking about things. When was the last time a team from Canada won the Stanley Cup? Okay.
1993. So thank you.
Yeah. So, but I mean, like, I'll just take everything they say with a grain of salt.
Fresh out of high school.
I mean, I
we're a bunch of jerks, Mike. I mean, we're a bunch of jerks. I mean,
look, I grew up, and I know that this is taboo to say it at times. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, so I grew up with the Canadian media talking about how they know everything about hockey, and us in the States, isn't it cute that we play it? But growing up with it, you get this kind of arrogance towards them, and you're like, you realize that hockey's played in the United States, and it's played in Europe, and it's played in Asia now, and it's pretty much played all over the world. It's not just your domain. And, you know, there are a couple of Germans who are really good at playing the game right now. So, yeah, anytime that Canada overreacts to something that a non-traditional hockey market does, I just kind of, I don't even pay attention to it anymore. And I've got a lot of friends who are in the journalism side who are great journalists in Canada. So I'm not besmirching all of them. I just, in those cases, Drew will tell you, consider the source. But no, this team is gelled. This team can play the physical game. I think that it's a reputation that was earned a few years ago that you could push the Hurricanes around. You can't do that anymore with this team. And they're suited for the playoffs, and they're suited for the way that the NHL is played now. So let's just get to that next level, and we'll see where it goes. But I will agree. I think I said it earlier, I'll say it again. This year more than ever, finishing first, getting as many points as you can, not just to avoid playing a team like Tampa or Florida, or avoid playing both of them. Although I think Dallas is going to get the fourth spot in the Central Division, and they are not going to be an easy out, because I think we're forgetting they went to the Stanley Cup final last year. But I think overall, yeah. But overall, you want to get as many points as you can right now to make sure that you give yourself the less contentious path to get to the Stanley Cup final.
No doubt. And the one thing that drives me crazy is the very fact that you were talking about non-traditional markets. I know there are people that want to see Toronto, and there's different ones, the original six, you know, they want to see them there. But I think that the one beautiful thing about the Hurricanes is I think they were built on purpose. And there's a lot of great talent that's still young, Mike. We were talking about this 2 years ago on the show, and these guys, the core group of guys, are still very young. And not to skip past this season, but in other words, my point is there's a lot of times when it's a non-traditional market, oh, they've probably been, you know, put together with Band-Aids and everything and old guys, and they're only going to be there for 1 year. But this team was built from the ground up for a young team a couple years ago that now are blossoming, and they could be around a long run. I mean, I know that's hard to say. It's maybe speculation, but it looks like where we are right now, it's really paid off.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're young, but they're experienced now. I mean, you look at the blue line with Slavin and Pesci. They're only 26 years old. You know, Brady Shea is 27 years old. Jake Bean is a youngster. I think we take for granted that Sebastian Aho is, you know, closer to 21 than he is to 30, you know, for what he's done. So, yeah, this is a young team. And they're not going anywhere for a while. A lot of their contracts, especially on the blue line, those players are locked up for a long time. So this is, for me, if you want to tell me the teams ahead of schedule, I won't disagree with you. I think for Rod Brindamore and the guys in that locker room, this is the schedule. This is where they should be. So and they're not going to go anywhere for a really long time.
It's very exciting.
Can you divulge anything about the Brady Shea injury?
No. There was nothing today. There was no media availability. Rod Brindamore didn't talk to the media today. We'll find out tomorrow morning.
Well, it's going to be exciting, Mike. I know that with everything going on, you've been generous with us, because I know with like Andrew said, it's almost like, I know that those of us that are competitors, you have like, you want to like, in one respect, you would love to call a game every night, but I know that it's for those of us that have done play-by-play analyst, whatever role you're going to play, it's not easy as a broadcaster to do it every single night. And we commend you for you're doing a great job, considering I know you can't go on the road and all the stuff you've had, the obstacles you've had to do from a broadcaster. I wanted to commend you live on the show, because I don't think people realize, number one, how hard hockey is, and number two, you haven't been able to go on the road.
Guys, I appreciate it, but you know what? I don't have to stand in front of the net and take a cross check from Victor Hedman or Roman Josi or anything like that. I just have to make sure that the microphone is near my mouth and I have some water and I have something to say, which isn't always the best thing to say, but still have something to say. So I appreciate the words, guys, but I'm just enjoying the ride. I can't wait
Mike,
for it.
Mike, you're doing a tremendous job. It's unanimous among the fans. Great job. It's a lot of fun every night. And
yeah, no doubt about it. We're looking forward to a nice deep run. And hopefully the Pirates can be going to Omaha. We have Omaha and we have the Stanley Cup around the same time. So that will be fantastic. But there's a lot of baseball and a lot of hockey to get there. So we'll enjoy, like you said, enjoy the ride for sure. How can people find your work and tell them about the podcast too? I love your show.
Oh, sure. Thanks. You can always find me on Twitter. It's at Mike Maniscalco, the name that's in the lower half right there. I know it sounds weird to spell, but it's exactly how you say it. So Man is Calco. And it's Canes Cast. You can find it on the Carolina Hurricanes page under the fan section if you go to CarolinaHurricanes.com. Or of course, you can go and download it on Google Play or on Apple Podcasts, and you can rate us 5 stars, best friends for life, like Dave, Drew, and I think Bubba will be after all of this. I appreciate that. And if you can get me, if we can work it out, because one of my bucket lists is to go to Omaha for the College World Series. I didn't get to go to Old Rosenblatt, so I want to go there. And if you can set it up where ECU is there, and we can all get a good steak and then watch somebody from the state of North Carolina win the College World Series, sign me up, because I'll go with you guys.
I'll ask around to help you out on that one for sure. we'll work it out. All right.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too, right, guys. Bye-bye. Take care.
Enjoyed it. All right. No doubt. Appreciate you so much. All right. Mike Maniscalco, the voice of the number one, the first place Carolina Hurricanes. And we appreciate him spending time with us. And I know that he's very busy. So we wanted to get him off here. And then obviously the same thing with Drew. I know he's his wife is wanting Bubba to do chores. You know all about that. So I think this is actually Wednesday night is his chore night. So we wanted Drew to have some time, obviously, with son and wife there. Big week for the Pirates. I know, Bubba, lots of stuff have been going on. Certainly we had the controversy with the Houston series last week being canceled because of COVID-19. We have the scrimmage game that we have, the scrimmage coming up on Saturday. That's going to be big, right?
And Dave, you know, technicalities here. It's a scrimmage, not a game. In my mind, you know, with the spring game, I understand where folks are going with it. It doesn't have the fanfare in terms of the the cook-off with the pig and
right,
pig, all those sorts of things that are taking place, and the format of the game itself. It remains to be seen what that will be. You know, whether you have what's more like a game, or you know, if you're just putting the ball on the 25-yard line and taking it from there, more of a situational type deal. You're never going to see special teams live in the spring game anyway. Sometimes, you know, you have the kicker go ahead and kick the ball, and then no kicking game is going to be live.
Look, this is, whatever people want to call it. I mean, how is it that every other team in the nation, okay, this past weekend, there was a ton of, what do they call it, spring games. And so for me, I understand what they're trying to do, but Bubba, I told you this is the spring game. I call it the spring game unplugged. I used to love in the 90s, MTV unplugged. It was cool. It was stripped down. And that's exactly what we have here. And this is a chance, as I said, Sunday night for us to market our team. We want to sell a whole bunch of season tickets. We'll talk about it in just a second. June 1st, we got a big announcement from the governor today. I'm very excited about, but on Saturday, the Purple Gold spring game, the scrimmage, whatever you want to call it, is open to the public, and that'll be at 1 p.m., 1 p.m. on Saturday. We're looking forward to it, and I know that's going to be the great thing about it, Bubba, is that, you know, Mike Houston's going to have recruits there. We'd love to see as many people as we can, and the reality is there's not going to be 50,000 people. That would be a great problem to have, but the most we've had, right, Bubba, I think you said twice, we've had 10,000. Is the most we've ever had at a spring game?
Yeah, that's correct. I know there may have been times where it looked as though it was more. I think the largest I've ever seen announced is 10,000. I know Jeff Charles a couple times here recently when talking about the spring game down through the years. He said, folks, yeah. chairman of the board or various bands coming in, right. All those things surrounding the game. You had crowds somewhere where the majority of the south stands, on which is the press box side,
right.
was full.
Yeah, it's we will hopefully by next year be post-COVID. And I really, you know what, whatever I have to do with same thing with Bubba, Kyle, everybody on the show, we want to see a huge spring game next year in 22. And we have a year to get it done. And we're going to be post-COVID by that point. Let's have a huge night. And we could, I'm not going to get into on my tangent on that, but let's just say that we have by next year, put everybody on the clock for, you know, when Black Friday is, and you know, when the spring game is, and you know, we're going to be post COVID. So let's work on having the best spring game we've ever had. And that's what we're East Carolina. You know, there's no reason why we, by that point, we can't have tailgating and a whole bunch of stuff that we could have next year that will be really cool. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about Bubba. I know that, very excited to get a press release today. We have a new diving coach, right?
Yeah, give me just one moment, and I'll have that for you.
Okay. All right, so very exciting to have Coach Matt Jabs back. Yeah. Coach Jabs, we'll try to get him on the show here pretty soon. We thank a lot of Coach Jabs and appreciate him sticking around and believing in this program, and to have the women's swimming and diving back is a huge get for us to get them back. And Bubba, having the new diving coach is just another, I guess it's kind of like the cherry on the top for us.
Yeah, no doubt. And head coach Matt Jabs that you just referenced, and Coach Jabs announced today that Ryan McIntyre has been named the new Pirate diving coach, and he comes to ECU from FAU following a four-year stint with the Owls. Coach Jabs said, "We had a long list of very talented applicants. However, Ryan stood out as the perfect fit for our program. I believe our divers are going to connect with him right away, and recruits will be attracted to his personality, knowledge, attention to detail, and work ethic. I'm really excited to have him with us as we move forward with our program."
Very excited, and that's just I'm just so happy, tickled for the program that we have in women's, and hopefully we can get the men's back. And I know that I'm not going to hold my breath, but anything after COVID, anything is possible. But we're tickled to death to have Coach Jabs and now Coach McIntyre, welcome him to Pirate Nation as a new diving coach. Very excited about that. And I know that we'll have continued success with our program. It's one of the best programs we have in our athletic department, and just tickled to death. And then Bubba, how about, I'm very excited about the news of women's golf from our good friend Malcolm Gray at the SID, but very excited for the golf team.
Yeah, the ECU women's golf team was in competition at the American Athletic Conference Championships last week down at Pinehurst, number 6, par 72 course. And the team as a whole finished third. Unfortunately, they had a bad final round, at least relatively speaking, because they were, I believe, tied for first going into the third and final round. And like I mentioned, finished third. I want to say Tulsa won it. So the ladies as a team will now await their fate next Wednesday, April 28th, 5:30, the pairing show for the NCAA Women's Golf Tournament. And I'm guessing maybe the men as well, I'm not sure, will be on the Golf Channel. So if you're a golf fan, or you're just interested in finding out where the women's golf team may potentially be headed if they make the tournament, tune in next Wednesday, April 28th at 5:30 on the Golf Channel. And then Dorothea Forbridge, she was the only individual under par in the event. She won the individual AAC title, so congratulations to her.
No doubt about it. And very excited as we have our good friend Kyle Barber. Let's see if we can – we'll bring him in. We'll have Kyle there. Kyle, welcome into the show, my friend, as we're doing our roundtable, and perfect timing for you.
Super late, guys. Sorry about that. I've been driving all day.
It's all right. We actually have it's perfect timing as we do the roundtable. Kyle, is a big announcement by the state of North Carolina with Governor Roy Cooper, Dr. Mandy Cohen, about the June 1st announcement with regarding no restrictions, guys.
Yeah, glad to hear it. I think it's time. It sounds like we're still going to have to wear masks, but at least it sounds like if everything goes as planned, we'll have no capacity limits and no social distancing standards. So as long as you're wearing a mask, it sounds like you can have full capacity and don't have to be 6 feet apart. So that's a good start. What it means is we can sell tickets. All venues can sell tickets and go back to doing things as normal. What I have to worry about policing anything, you know, I guess you'll just be responsible for wearing your mask, but you can go back to pre-COVID kind of stuff with no social distancing and no capacity limits. It's great news. And if you're ECU and any other school, you really need to start pumping your season tickets now, because you should be 100% capacity by the way things look, unless something happens by the fall. So you will probably see a nice surge in season ticket purchases just between June and September. And now's the time to if it would have been me, if I was the university, I would have released a statement today promoting season tickets alongside that statement from Governor Cooper.
And by the way, the priority deadline, I believe, is May 3rd, right, guys? My memory serves me right.
I don't know. Is that still in place? I would extend that this year.
I mean, I have no problems with that, but it's May 3rd as of right now that my memory serves me right.
I know the priority deadline for the App State game in Charlotte, which is not part of the season ticket package, but that game, the Pirate Club priority deadline is April 25th, if I'm not mistaken. I'm correct.
Bob, you're breaking up.
Or maybe it's the 26th.
It's coming up the next.
Yeah, maybe it's the 26th, because the 26th, I believe, is a Monday. So, but it's coming up soon, within the next week, on the priority deadline. But obviously, you can order App State tickets well after that. You would just not get them with your Pirate Club priority taken into account.
And the good thing about that now is, if it's going to be 100% capacity, there's going to be lots of tickets to be sold for that Appalachian State game. So that's a pretty big stadium, even with two fan bases. So
73,000
or something, yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't have any trouble getting a ticket for that if we're going to be 100% capacity. But I guess if you want it with your priority points in mind and be able to sit amongst your Pirate brethren, go on and get your order in for your App State tickets. I heard tickets kind of high for that.
They're not cheap. Yeah, and you don't get any Dukes mayonnaise. So. Yeah, they're not cheap. They're really high.
Sorry,
Kyle. I had a delay, I guess, on my end. But $50 to $90, or actually, there's a club level ticket that's like $120 or $125. So anywhere from like $50 to $125, depending on where you sit.
Now, were they selling that as if it was 100% capacity?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Because I wonder, as big as that stadium is, if not, if there'll be a cheaper ticket available now.
I will say this, and when I was noticing where the $50 ticket was, that is a low end zone seat, because I was expecting that to probably be upper deck end zone.
Yeah.
But according to the seating chart that was emailed out by the Pirate Club in the ticket office here in the last several days, I want to say in that first week of April, so a couple weeks ago now, it was showing lower level only, in addition to the club level, like I mentioned.
Yeah, because I'm curious if they were selling it as of now at 50% capacity, because if they were, now they can sell it at 100% capacity, and that's going to open up a lot more seats, and maybe they can have a cheaper $25 ticket. Yeah, well, yeah, because it's going to be – look, that's a lot of tickets to sell even at $50 a piece, let alone the higher-end tickets. So maybe a $30 ticket at least.
And you look – in recent years, you had North Carolina and Mack Brooks return when they took down South Carolina, and obviously South Carolina is just a couple hours down the road in Columbia. I mean, and high expectations for the Gamecocks, and the way that fan base travels and the way they show up at Williams-Brice, they only had somewhere between 50 and 55,000. And that was announced. I really think it's probably less as far as butts in the seats. And it's just because they're asking too much for these tickets. I don't understand why they don't lower the price some and sell more tickets.
Yeah, exactly. And it's on a Thursday night. I mean, realistically, I bet you if there's 50,000 people in there for that game on the Thursday night, I'll be shocked. That's a
unbelievable crowd.
Yeah, I'll be shocked. I think you're going to be looking at about 40,000.
Yeah, I don't see that. We were talking about this before. Yeah. So you think for our first game with the Gamecocks?
We're talking App State.
You still App State? Okay. Well, I know we were also going to talk for the first home game against the Gamecocks. You guys, I know, Kyle, you were saying you think 41,000 for the first game?
The first home game against South Carolina.
Yeah.
41,000, yeah. I think if you can beat App State, then you may have a surge. I think that would really excite the students. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the students are not going to – there are some Pirate fans that are delusional right now that somehow think we're just going to go stomp App State. But I can tell you right now, if you're a student here, you're probably looking at App State like they're going to stomp us. Because since you've been keeping up with athletics, we've been terrible, and App State's been really good. So I would imagine if we beat App State week one, the students will probably get really excited, and you'll probably see a nice crowd for South Carolina. I'm going to go 41,000, but hopefully more. Bubba, you're hoping you indicated you thought that'd be a little disappointing.
It might be disappointing. I certainly understood your logic. You know, in the whole you seen it.
Bobby, the robot. Stop, Bubba. Oh boy.
Yes, it's the robot.
Yeah, Bubba, we can't understand a word. Bubba, log out and come back.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very good right now.
I can't understand anything he's saying. But no, I think what Bubba was trying to say is he'd be disappointed with a 41,000 in attendance for South Carolina, because when you think about that, South Carolina is going to probably bring between 5,000 and 8,000 fans. So yeah, that would mean about 35,000 or less would be Pirates. I just think with the way we've been losing, with COVID taken into account and people getting out of the habit of going to games, you may still have a handful of people that are still scared. I don't see us selling out. I think 51,000 is going to be asking for a lot. I think if we get 41,000 people in there, I honestly won't be disappointed at all. I think Bubba's hoping somewhere more in the neighborhood of 47,000, 48,000. Dave, I don't know what you're expecting.
Well, my heart and my head, my heart wants closer to a sellout. But, you know, when you start doing the numbers, and again, it depends. I guess that what it comes down for me is it's not going to be if we wait until July, August to kind of wait and see like how things are going to be. As far as I'm saying from the marketing standpoint, we need to go ahead and market now, push it really hard as if this is a week or two before the season starting. I know it may sound crazy, but the sooner we start promoting it, the better off we'll be for August and September. I think people need to know that I don't think there's a bit of confidence as far as the program is concerning more. I think it's confidence because of COVID and people are scared. And I think that,
you still have people that haven't jumped back on the bandwagon because of all the losing. I think what I told you guys earlier, I want to be, if we win one of those first two games and play well in both, let's say we play well against App, then beat South Carolina or vice versa. God knows if we can beat them both. And that's asking a lot. But then I think you'd probably – if we beat South Carolina, I wouldn't be surprised if we had that same 41,000 again for Charleston Southern. I think winning's going to get the fan base back interested. And yep. I think there's going to be some that are going to wait and see. Once they see us do it, that's when they'll come back.
It's human nature. I mean, I think the friendlies like that are on this podcast, there are going to be people that are going to be there at every single game, win or lose. But then there's people that, you know, they're bandwagon fans, but we need the bandwagon fans. We need those folks that are, they're Pirate fans, but, you know, there are people that, you know, they don't want to watch a team lose as much as they love their Pirates. And, but I think that just judging by Coach Houston, I really believe, I know you talk about it, Kyle, I really believe the more I listen to him and the interviews and the post game and the post practice ones that we've had recently, as far as the spring football is concerned, he knows, a coach knows, and a coach, this coach knows that we're turning the corner. And that if we didn't have COVID last year, guys, we would be talking about a bigger season for this year. But I still believe, I will stick to it, I still believe that we're a bowl team this year. I really do. And, you know, we have a long time before even Pirate football gets here and the end of August and September. But as far as where I am right now, until I see anything different, listen to Coach talk. He's very happy with the depth. He's very happy with the talent. He's very happy now. I think that I'll say this and we'll move on. But I just really believe with the coaching staff we have right now, there's just a vibe right now, and the word, the swagger is back for Pirate football. I really believe that you're starting to finally see that after these fans right now, Kyle, I'll say this, and Bubba, the fans are starving for a winner at this school. They're starving. Six straight losing seasons. We're starving for a winner, and I think we finally have it this year in 21.
No, I think Coach Houston knows he's got his best team since he's been here, and I think we'll be I think we're going to be a 10-win football team or even an 8-win football team? Probably not, but I really believe we'll be competitive in every game and we'll be bowling at the end of the year. Bubba, did you get your technical problems fixed?
I think so. I'm connected to Wi-Fi now. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
You're perfect. Like
all right. Well, guys, when we were having the conversation earlier as far as what we think the attendance may be, given that it looks like it will be full capacity against South Carolina, and I know y'all were thinking, what, you know, 41, 42, somewhere in there, like you've already discussed. Well, Holton Ahlers tweeted right after that. It was pretty funny. Literally within minutes of that conversation, Holton Ahlers tweeted a picture from the 2014 North Carolina game. He said, "So what you're saying is this," or something to that effect. And there were a couple people that kind of had some of the same thoughts that you did, Kyle, as far as the gradual climb back to full capacity. Kind of like we had in the early 2000s, and, you know, coming off the 2003 and 2004 season. And really, we hadn't won in 3 years, going back to the final year of the Logan era when we went 4-8. And then I think that Duke game, and granted, things weren't the same the way they are now, you know, 16 years later or whatever. But that game was on TV against Duke, and we had, I think, 35,000 and some when Dowdy Ficklin was just seating 43,000. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I would not be surprised at all if you're right. You probably will be right, unfortunately. But at the same time, I say, hey, Pirate fans, if you're on the fence, there's a lot more to be excited about than not. The program's trending in the right direction. Before, we had no reason for hope. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. We were we were in decline, and there was no way out, it didn't seem. But now, you saw a pretty dominant performance against SMU in the season finale, and then what should have been a win out at Tulsa that was taken from us. So it's clear the program's trending in the right direction. Just get back on board now and go ahead and get your season tickets and get out to Dowdy Ficklin.
Yeah, and what I want to see between now and then, and, you know, I don't know what they're working on behind the scenes. Maybe they have some great marketing campaign that's fixing to hit. But we need really good marketing. We need something to stir the fan base between now and in August. And we need to get this fan base engaged. The prices are good. That's one thing, you know. Even with the Gamecocks coming in, season ticket prices did not go up from last year.
Right.
You can go get your economy plan tickets. God, what are they, like $100? So, I mean, they're ridiculously cheap. I mean, if you buy just one individual ticket for South Carolina, you will pay for your season tickets. You will pay for your South Carolina game by getting your season tickets in that economy plan. You really will. If you just try to buy an individual ticket for it. So go get your season tickets. You know, it's a good home schedule. You got the Gamecocks. You got Cincinnati, top 10 team coming in here. What's the rest of the home schedule? Bubba, Dave?
Yeah, like you were saying, Dave is – I mean, Dave. Yeah. I pulled Coach something O. out of Coach O's book there. Sorry, Kyle.
Probably asking way too many questions, Bubba.
$60 to $65 is probably the cost of that South Carolina ticket, I think you referenced. So, I mean, $99. I mean, you might as well go ahead and get the economy plan season ticket.
Yeah, no doubt. What's the rest of our home schedule? We got Cincinnati. We got South Carolina.
Tulane is October the 2nd. Then we have
Temple, South Florida.
We have USF on the 28th of October, which is pretty much Halloween. November the 6th, the following week, we'll have a Temple, like you said. We have the final game will be the Cincinnati game. That's Thanksgiving weekend. They haven't decided it'll be on a Friday or a Saturday. So it'll be either Friday or Saturday, depending on what they decide.
You got a solid home schedule. You got an SEC team. You got a top 10 team. You got our team that I think we've developed a little bit of competitive rivalry with Temple. You got South Florida coming in here. And then you got Charleston Southern. So it's a nice home schedule in Tulane. So, get your tickets, man, get your season tickets. I mean, look guys, this is a serious thing. This might be the last time for a long time you see an SEC school at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. They don't play very many road games in our conference anymore. If they do, it's against other Power Fives. This will probably be on paper. It definitely will be in the next 10 years, and it may be for the next 20 years before you see another SEC school in Dowdy Ficklin.
Absolutely, Kyle. And that's part of where I was coming from. That's part of where I was coming from. My logic as far as why we better see, you know, between 45 and 50 as opposed to lower 40s or less than that, you know, where we have 10 or 15,000 empty seats. Show up, Pirate Nation.
I just think you got to take COVID into account, and I think you got to take college football attendance has just been dropping.
I agree. I agree.
No, I definitely agree with you, Kyle. I'm just hoping that we'll, for the fact of like we've been talking about with the Gamecocks coming in, I mean, they have a tremendous fan base as far as traveling is concerned. And I think there's a lot of people that wanted to be at the games last year. Sure. And I think the people are more confident about coming to games this year than obviously they couldn't go to the game. There are people that wanted to go to the games last year that couldn't come. So I think by September, things will be much better than we have as far as COVID is concerned. My concern would be as far as season tickets are concerned, lacking. I'm curious to see guys at some point.
Have you guys heard an update? Where are we at on season tickets?
We were pretty much – a lot of people had pushed back their tickets like you got. I know you did, Kyle. I can't remember, Bubba, if you had – I donated my money to, in other words, for the Pirate Club. But
you know that I think we were around 5,000. So you know, have we grown since then? Are we hitting 10,000 yet? Because we need to be.
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard. I can find out, but I have not heard it recent. It would be nice to have the 10,000 mark, but I haven't heard so far. But that's where we need to be. This time of year, we would definitely need to be at that threshold, I would think, 10,000, 13,000, that range. But we hope to have 15,000.
If you're on the fence and you know, like I said, again, that economy ticket, you're better off buying that economy ticket than you are just buying an individual ticket for South Carolina. If you're on the fence about it, don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, look. I mean, $99. By the way, guys, we'll be announcing here pretty soon. We won't do it tonight, but we have a season ticket promotion. We're giving away a pair of tickets. I mean, $99 for a season ticket. I mean, $99 is ridiculous. That's a great deal. And I have a friend of mine, my barber, actually. He's a
barber?
Yeah, I do. Kyle Barber. No, he actually, his name is Kenny. He actually, what?
No, go ahead.
He actually was at, you know, on the fence about buying season tickets. I was like, you never know. Before this announcement today, this was a month ago, I said, you better go ahead and get your season tickets, because if they say, if they said to us, which we know now, well, we had to worry about it, but they said, hey, the only people getting our season ticket holders, then you better get your season tickets. Now it's a moot point. You don't have to worry about that. But I do believe, see, when you have like a situation where single game tickets are going to go on sale again, I'm sure now that we have that lifted. So you better go ahead and get your tickets now, because if you don't, what?
It'll be sometime in June or July.
What?
Then we put things. I'm just being funny. It's about single game tickets going on sale.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying they will at some point. And the last thing you'd want to do is have like 20,000 Gamecocks, something crazy, for them to come up here and have a whole bunch of
That ain't gonna happen. If they,
I don't think it'll happen.
No, and look, first things first, we got to play App State. And, you know, and I know obviously South Carolina's our first home game, but let's not get lost in this. I don't want any App State fans thinking we're overlooking them. The one thing that concerns me is all this talk of the South Carolina game, just in general. Man, we got App State first. If you can go to Charlotte on a Thursday night, be in Charlotte, man. Be in Charlotte, because that's going to be a lot of fun. Your first time in a real football atmosphere, sitting there in the Panther Stadium since 2019, sitting there in Carolina Panther Stadium, bowl-like atmosphere, 50-50 crowd against App State. We know Bubba will be there. That's a
home game for him.
Yeah. If it was a Saturday, I'd definitely be there. I'm iffy on a Thursday.
Come on, Kyle. I'll take you.
It's not me. It's going to be Jessica's situation with work. But it's
Jessica, get it done.
Say again, Bubba.
I just said, Jessica, get it done. Make it happen.
Yeah, come on, Miss Barber.
We'll hopefully be there. But
they'll be there. Count them in. They'll be there. The Barbers will be there, like the Rosenbaums. They'll be there. I have confidence. It may be a last minute decision, but at the end of the day, I find it really hard to believe that you'll miss.
Dave said he's going to sub for you.
If I could do it, I would definitely do it. But I want to be at that game. I'm being selfish now. Guys, do you have anything before we go? Do you have any more stuff there, Bubba? I know that we're
deeper. No, I mean, on Sunday, we'll obviously have extra innings as we take a look back at the UCF series. And this afternoon, I had the opportunity to catch up with Greg Lovelady, who fifth-year head coach of the UCF Knights. So check that out on our YouTube channel. About a 25-minute conversation with him. He talked about his team's roller coaster season, which included a series win at number one Ole Miss, as they were at the time. Ole Miss is still ranked in the top five in most polls and definitely top 10. So this Knights team is very capable, but they've just struggled to play with any type of consistency. They did take 3 out of 4 from struggling USF last weekend in that rivalry.
Streaky. They're streaky. Because they're streaky, and they seem to get up. They got up for Ole Miss, and they got up for the rivalry game with South Florida. So guess what? We're a top 10 team. So they're going to be up for us too. So
no doubt.
We need to be ready to go. Hey, spring football game, or I'm sorry, scrimmage, Saturday at 1 p.m. at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, open to the public. All Pirates, as Coach Houston said, if you're part of our clan, you're welcome. If you're not, then you're not welcome. So all Pirates, come on out. Unfortunately, guys, the spring game gets open to the public, and we get a 100% chance of rain.
Yeah, that's our luck. But we are Pirates and on the Pirate ship, and we've weathered a lot of storms. This is a small storm compared to the storms of the last 7 years, going on 8 years. So
yeah, no doubt. Hey, and I want to say one more thing, then I'm going to get out of here.
Okay. Yep.
Kind of why I came late. I had COVID. Yeah, I did have COVID. I had COVID vaccine, my second shot yesterday. It put me on my butt today. I've been achy all day, sleepy, haven't felt good. But if you're curious about getting the COVID vaccine and you're scared of it, let me go ahead and say, if you do get side effects and they're typical side effects like mine, it's not in the world. It just feels like you got the flu. And you know, it's if you've dealt with having the flu, and you know, and this is without coughing and all that, this is just the aches and pains and feeling tired. So it's very unpleasant, and you ache, but you can deal with it. So if that's keeping you from getting your vaccine, don't let it. Go ahead and get it. But if you know, I'm not telling anybody what to do. If you don't want to get your vaccine, don't get it. That's your choice. But if you're worried about the side effects, at least the immediate side effects, it's not fun, but it's certainly bearable.
No doubt about it.
You might not have any side effects at all. Some people don't.
Yeah, who knows? But definitely go ahead and get it. And by the way, those of you that don't want to wear a mask anymore, like a lot of us, then if we have 2/3 of North Carolinians at least having their first shot, then we get to take the mask off by June 1st. So go ahead and get signed up. Go ahead and get those shots. We want as many people as we can to go ahead and do that. And certainly it'll be deeper into June, maybe July, before we get to that point if we're on the pace we are right now. So go ahead and speed up the process, and let's get to have some kind of normalcy where we can have a bunch of ball games. And by the way, guys, like I told you guys, we're going to have a crowd, a huge crowd for the regionals and hopefully the super regionals coming up early that first weekend of June. What is that, Bubba? The 3rd, 4th, and 5th? 6th, if necessary?
4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th.
4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. So be that we can't get, we're talking to Kyle earlier. Obviously, can't put the season ticket, the regional tickets on sale now. But go ahead and be prepared to take time off, because we're going to need a huge crowd. And I just have a special feeling about this team. And love to have that jungle rocking and having Clark LeClaire rocking. That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool if we are hosting a regional? And who knows if the NCAA is going to put any kind of sanctions on it. But potentially, guys, that could be our first time in any sport at full capacity since COVID. Could be for the regionals. That'd be awesome.
That'll be a great feeling. We'll see how a lot of things have to happen, obviously, between now and then, but I feel confident about that. Bubba, do you have anything before we go?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. Well, we'll actually see you in the next time. It'll be on Extra Innings. So that'll be on Sunday night. Until the meantime, appreciate you, Bubba. Thank you to Mike Maniscalco, the voice of the first place Carolina Hurricanes, and our good friend Andrew D for coming on as well, a great Caniac and Pirate. And Bubba, appreciate you, man, for everything that you do for the show. Until next time, good night, everybody. Go Pirates. Put your crossbones up if you're a pirate. Let the other team know we got them surrounded. Put your crossbones up and lean side to side. Set the tone with your pirate pride. Put your crossbones up for your